we're going to pray before we jump into the lesson today, but I do want to let everybody know that we're extremely glad that you're here at the Crossings in Collinsville. Normally, I'm at the Crossings in Wentzville, but once a month, I get the pleasure of coming over here and being with you guys and getting to meet new faces, but also getting to see my loved ones that came over here to plant the church in Collinsville. So it's always an awesome time just to get to spend that time with you all. But let's pray before we jump into the lesson today, all right? Father in heaven, I just want to thank you for being an awesome God who loves us in spite of who we are sometimes, God, and in spite of our flaws and the dumb things we may say, may do, God, but you love us enough to want to have a relationship with us. And I just want to thank you for that, for being a God who helps us to make better decisions, decisions that can change our lives, God. I know in my life and in the lives of so many people at the Crossings, we were not so good at making decisions, but when we start learning to make our decisions the way that you would want us to, things start changing, and it starts changing for the better. God, so I pray that you help us to all be people who listen to you and your wisdom and the knowledge that you have and what you tell us to do when going about making decisions, God, so that we can make better decisions. It's in Jesus' name we pray, amen. So I know we took a couple weeks off of this whole idea of how do I decide and how to go about making decisions, and actually, that says advice on getting advice, but really the lesson is testing my decision. So I don't know what that's telling you, but it's not right. But, you know, we took a week off for a couple reasons. One is, you know, when you look at what's going on in our society and in the world around us and in St. Louis, we looked at that and we thought, you know what, we need to do something on the fact that there's so much division. And so that's why we did the lesson that we did that dealt with racism and things like that, because we obviously believe that whenever it comes to God and a relationship with him, he longs for us to work in harmony and unity and love with each other. And we felt like it was something important for us to address as a church. And then, would it be better if I used a handheld, Tim?
We're trying to figure something out.
Okay, you're good. So then the next week, I know we did a service in the park. And so this week, we're jumping back in and actually kind of closing down our series of lessons on making decisions. And in 1 Thessalonians 5, 19-20, it says this. It says, don't despise what God has revealed. Instead, test everything and hold on to what is good. You see, sometimes whenever it comes to making decisions, we are impulsive people, right? You know, we see something we like, we see something we want, and we're like, ooh, it's shiny, I want it. And we pick it up and we take it because it's something that we desire in that moment that we want to have. And we go about making decisions at the spur of a moment, and we take things. And it works the same way with other types of decisions, not just the things we want, right? But in our reactions to other people, right? You have to decide how you're going to respond to somebody. And sometimes we don't take the time to think through our reaction to someone else, and we make a decision that damages a relationship. There are all kinds of decisions that we make. I'm going to switch microphones on this here. You know, when it comes, that's better, right? Yeah, all right. No more the whole time. You know, we need to start learning to test the decisions that we're going to make before we just act on something. Because when you actually take the time to say, okay, why am I making this decision? Is this the best decision? What would God have to say about this decision? And you take a deep breath and you have time to process that thing before you decide it, I can guarantee you that you're going to start making better decisions. And so today what we're going to be talking about is how do I do that? You know, maybe that you have questions in your mind. You know, what do you, the kind of things you wonder about. Man, I wonder if I should do this or that. I wonder if I should take that job. Should I take that promotion? I wonder if I should sell my house. Should I move to this area? I wonder if I should do, you know, should I do this with my children or should I do that with my decision? All of these things go in our head, right? Is it right for me to go out and do this? Would it be right or wrong for me to do this? And we all ponder so many different types of decisions every single day in our lives. You know, it's funny that every day we make hundreds of decisions, but rarely do we think about where those decisions are going to take us or really spend much time testing our decision-making process, even though it is determining where you're going to end up, right? All of those little decisions that you make along the way are going to lead you down a certain path to a certain place in your life. So it's extremely important that we figure out how to make the best decisions possible because it will change the course of forever for you if you learn to think about why you're making the decisions the way that you do. For, Philippians 1 verse 9 and 10 says this, I pray that your love will keep on growing more and more together with true knowledge and perfect judgment so that you will be able to choose
what is best. See, God wants you to be able to make the best decisions possible. And I don't know about you guys, but I have a couple of friends who every time I look at the decisions they're making, I'm like, what are you thinking, right? We all have those people in our lives, right? You're like, that is the dumbest thing any human being could ever decide to do. Why would you do that? And then you look at the next decision they make and you're like, I thought the last decision was the dumbest thing any human being ever could ever do until I saw you make your next decision. And then I realized that was dumber than the one before. And the funny thing about that is we all know people like that, but it's rare that we think we're that person, right? It's rare that we look at the decisions we make and we're like, oh, I'm making an unwise decision. And what God wants us to do is look into his word. He wants us to be able to find out what is really true and make and have perfect judgment. He wants us to make better decisions than what we're making currently. And so what we're going to do today is we're going to talk about six questions that kind of will help you learn to test your decisions. It'll help you learn to have a better decision-making process so that you don't end up making some foolish decision that is going to damage you, that is going to damage your wife, that's going to damage your children, or put you on a path that you never wanted to be on, to where, you know, 20 years down the road, we've been there, right? A lot of us, where we're looking back and we're like, I can point all the way back to this decision that I made right here, and it still impacts my life. It still damages me. I'm still hurting from the consequences from that decision. So it makes more sense for us to say, you know what, I need to learn to test my decisions before I make them so I don't have to deal with the pain and the hurt and the bitterness and the brokenness that comes after I've made a dumb decision. You know, and I think back to so many decisions that I've made in my life, you know, and I look back and I'm like, if I could only go back and fix them, but I can't. You know, it doesn't work like that, right? There's no Doc Brown, there's no DeLorean that's going to pull up and allow you to go back into time and fix everything. And even if you did, we would screw it up again, right? Isn't that the whole point of those movies? It's not the way it works, but you can learn to make a better decision. So the sixth question, let's talk about the first question. It's called the infallible test. First of all, we need to ask myself, is it in harmony with God's word? You know, throughout my life, I've seen people make decisions. I've told some of you this before. I was very fortunate. I grew up in a church that was actually a really cool church with a preacher for a father, which normally when you hear about PKs, right, they're like those kids you don't want to be like. And I think the reason for that is most preachers aren't really what they say they are, and that's why their kids end up the way they are. And I was fortunate enough to grow up with a dad who I really do believe, first of all, loved God, and I believed he loved us, and I believed he loved the church. And when I would look at his life, he followed what the word of God said and taught me how to make decisions based upon God's word. And so I grew up in a church where I got to see people come in who had been making decisions on their own for so long that they realized something had to change, something had to be different. And I watched them come into a church that was willing to say, look, they weren't afraid to say, you've got to stop making decisions based off what you want and what you desire, and you need to look at God's word to make that decision. And when they started applying that principle in their lives, I started seeing their lives change. And I saw marriages put back together, and I saw addicts overcome their addictions, and I saw, you know, people who have been abused and abused to others change their lives because they looked at this and they said, I need to start asking, is my life and decision-making process in harmony with God's word? See, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, Paul is talking to this young guy, Timothy, and he says, listen, all scripture is useful for teaching the truth, rebuking error, is for correcting faults, and giving instruction for right living. Sometimes, see, we look at the word of God, and it's easy for us to look and say, you know what, the Bible is this outdated thing that doesn't matter, that, you know, no, we don't understand, we don't know. But it really isn't true. And the reason I can tell you that is because I do believe when Paul says this, all scripture is useful, that's the truth. It's useful for a lot of things. It's useful for teaching us new information. You know, when you sit down and you open up God's word, you're going to learn some things that you didn't know before. And those things that you learn are going to give you knowledge that are going to allow you to process the daily decisions that you face differently than you might have before because you have more information to make that decision upon. You know, it's good for rebuking error. You know, there are times where I've made decisions or I'm getting ready to make a decision and I look in God's word and God's word is very clearly saying, you made or are about to make the wrong decision. Now, what I do with that is dependent upon me and whether or not I'm willing to ask myself this question, is this decision really in harmony with God's word? But God's word will point out the error of our ways and correct our faults. You know, that's the idea of it. It says, look, it's the idea of being on a path. When you look in the original language, what that's saying is that, you know, you're getting on a path, and it's able to help you correct the path that you're taking. That's what the Bible is good for, and it's also good for giving instructions for right living. The bottom line is that I will never make consistently good decisions unless I'm considering what God would want me to do and what His Word tells me to do. I know for a fact whenever I'm in God's Word and I know what it says, it helps me make better decisions on a daily basis. Day in and day out, it helps me make better decisions. And the good thing is that great decisions can become more natural the more I get to know God's Word. You know, there are certain times in my life where I'm getting ready to make a decision, and you know, the internet and Google and Bible Gateway and all these websites, they make it pretty easy, right? Because I'm getting ready to face the decision, so I'll get on there and I'll be like, hey, you know, and I'll type in a subject, right? And I'm like, what does the Bible say about blah? And you can pull up those passages, right? But what do you do in those decision times that you're facing whenever you don't have the opportunity to do that and you have a momentary decision to make? The only way to make good decisions in that time is if you've already been in God's Word, if you've already been learning it. You're not going to always have time to pull up that decision and sit down and read passages on it. You need to know what God's Word says beforehand so that whenever it comes to making decisions, you can say, you know what, this decision is or is not in harmony with God's Word, and make a decision based upon that. Hebrews 5, 12 through 14 says this. It says, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's Word. You are like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. For someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to do what is right. Solid food is for the mature who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. See what this passage is telling us? It's saying a mature person is someone who's able to discern right from wrong and able to recognize what is good and beneficial and what is going to damage them. And the way that we go about learning that, the way that we do that is we have to get into God's Word. It says you need someone to teach you again the basics of God's Word. You know, there are not many decisions that I believe, if you know the basic things about God's Word, that you can't make. You know, there are principles and core ideas that are weaved all throughout Scripture. And once you start learning those things, there is no decision that you will face that you can't make with wisdom. You're going to look at those decisions, you're going to say, man, I remember a situation like this in the Bible. I remember this principle in the Bible. So I'm going to make sure that the decisions I make are in harmony with God's Word, not with what I want. Now, again, it's great to know that fact. Oh, I need to make decisions based in harmony with God's Word. It's a different thing to live that out. That's why all across our nation, Christians are considered hypocrites. Because what we do is we look and we say, well, this is what the Bible says. But when people look at the way that we go about making decisions, those two things don't line up. And what they see is that, and when they're calling Christians hypocrites, what they're saying is your life and your decision-making process does not live in harmony with God's Word. And they look at that and they're like, I don't want to be around that because there's no benefit to it. And they're exactly right. And to be quite honest, generally speaking, when they call Christians hypocrites, they're pretty right. It's pretty spot on. And so all of us have got to step back and say, you know what? I need to make sure that every decision I'm making is in harmony with God's Word. The second question I need to ask myself, it's the influence test. The second test that you can take is, do the spiritual leaders of my church approve? Now, see, this is something that's very difficult for us, right? Because we're taught from a young age, you're to be independent. Nobody needs to be in your business. You do you, and you don't worry about anybody else because it's your life. And we look at when you hear people say things like, no, when it comes to my relationship with God, it's about me and God. I don't need anybody else involved. Well, what you start finding out when you start looking at Scripture is the Bible teaches something completely different than that. And that's difficult for us because we are very prideful people. I know I am a prideful person. Any of you guys who know me, you know me well, you know that's something I struggle with. And it's something that I have to try to keep in check. I have to make sure that I'm being humble, that I'm listening to what the people around me have to say about what's going on in my life and who I am, and I need to allow them to correct me and work on my heart and help me become a better man. But my pride makes me not want to do this test. It makes me not want to ask what the spiritual leaders and people in my life, would they approve this decision? But in Hebrews 13, verse 17, it says this, rely on your leaders and defer to them because they watch over your whole being as people who are going to be held responsible for you. They need to be able to do this with pleasure, not with complaints about you, because that won't help. And you know, he says, in that passage, he says, rely on them and defer to them. Now, there are times in my life, you know, where I have kids. I have a 16-year-old, I have a 14-year-old, and I have a 7-year-old. And with all three of those kids, there are times where I'm like, I don't know what to do in this decision with my kids. And so I'll go to my wife and I'm like, hey, I'm going to defer to you on this one because I don't really know what to tell my 16-year-old daughter to do, right? Well, when I defer that decision to her, what am I saying? I'm saying I'm giving her the control to make that decision, right? And sometimes when it comes to our lives, you have men and women that God has placed in your life, spiritual men and women who are there to help you make decisions. That's what God has placed them for. And in this passage, what you see is Paul telling the church in Ephesus, you need to rely on those people that God has put in your life. The problem has become in the church, especially I believe here, is that most people look at the leaders of their church and they have a hard time relying on them. And the reason that they have a hard time relying on them is they see the decisions they make and they see the kind of people they are. And they're like, I don't want that person helping me make a decision at all. Well, if you feel that way about your church leadership, first of all, you need to go to church somewhere else, honestly. All right? And I'm not being crass. Like, why? I'm just saying, why would you go to a church full of leaders who you don't trust? Because, you know, a few verses earlier, actually 10 verses earlier than that, in Hebrews 10:7, he says this: remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you, consider the outcome of their way of life, and imitate their faith. See, those leaders that he's telling you to defer your decision-making process to, he prefaces that 10 verses earlier. He's not telling you to be unwise in who you listen to. He tells them 10 verses earlier, he says, listen, look at your leader's way of life and imitate their faith. You know, that's one of the things that I can say confidently with the Crossings. I look at our leadership, you know, on the church plants and over in Wentzville, and our leadership is very imperfect. You know, we mess up, we make poor decisions now and then. But what I can tell you is that their hearts are right. Nathan, what's up? I just wanted to embarrass Nathan. You know, but we make decisions sometimes. But what I can tell you is I know our leaders' hearts, and the way I know their hearts is I see the way their lives are turning out. You know, one of the things that I've heard people say about my dad for a long time is they can look at my dad and my mom and they see the way they've lived their life. And because of the way they've lived their life and because they've raised such awesome kids. No, I'm kidding. I'm joking. Come on. You know, but people look at the way they've lived their lives and they're able to listen to my parents because they see the way their lives have turned out. And what he's telling you here is that you need to find godly men and women who you can trust, who live the life that they call you to live, and allow them to help you make those decisions. And relying on people who are relying on God's word, you know, who already know what God wants them to do. Those are the kind of people you need to rely on. But again, pride creeps in, and we don't like that test very much. See, when it comes to making decisions, we don't want anybody else telling us what we should do, regardless of what their lives look like, right? You know, there have been times where, you know, I respect and love somebody and they're like, you need to make this decision. And I'm just like, and I know I should, right? I know it's the right decision. And I'm just like, but that's not what I want to do. That's when it comes down to whether or not, do you really want to make the right decision or do you want to make your decision? That's the question we have to ask ourselves. So first of all, you know, is it in harmony with God's word? Second of all, the leaders that God has placed in my life, would they approve of that decision that I'm making? The third thing is the imitation test. And the imitation test is pretty simple. It's this: would I want others to do the same thing? Would I want my kids? Would I want my friends? Would I want my family? Would I want the people watching my life to make the same decision that I'm about to make? Because sometimes if we can step back for a moment and look at the situation, and I know that there are decisions that I made when I was a teenager that I would definitely not want my kids making now, right? And I see that clearly in hindsight. But when you're about to make a decision, we need to step back and say, is this going to benefit the people who are watching me or not? And sometimes that's not even a matter of a right or wrong decision. Sometimes it's a better or best decision. Whenever I think about my kids watching the way that I make decisions and the things that I'm going to do, I don't want them to see me just choosing between right and wrong. I want them to see me choose between better or best. Or maybe something might be permissible. It might be okay for me to make that decision. But I want them to see me make a beneficial decision. What is going to be the best decision? In 1 Timothy 4:12, Paul tells Timothy this. He says, set an example for other followers by what you say and do, as well as your love, faith, and purity. The Bible teaches us that we have a responsibility to other people. And that is included in the way we make our decisions. Your children, your friends, they are watching the way you make decisions. And you have to ask yourself, do I want them to follow the same pattern of decision-making that I make? And sometimes I know I make decisions based out of emotion, based out more than what's best. Or sometimes I make decisions based off what I want more than what God's word says. And I am leading people, and they are going to make the same kind of decisions that I'm making. Am I going to be okay with where that leads them? Romans 14, verse 12 and 13 says this, each of us will give an account of himself to God. Try to live in such a way that you will never make your brother stumble by letting him see you do something he thinks is wrong. Now, that's a pretty big restriction to put on yourself. Do you understand what he's saying there? He's saying there may be things that you think are okay to do, but someone else who is watching you doesn't, and he's telling you to make the decision based off what's best for them, not what you think is okay for you. That's a difficult decision to make. Very difficult. And what we've got to do is we've got to realize that God is very big on us being accountable and responsible for where we take other people in our lives. And so we've got to examine our lives and ask ourselves, where am I taking these people? You have to understand, people are going to imitate you whether you ask them to or not. You want to know how I know this? How many of you guys, okay, for you older folks, how many of you said at one point in your life, I'm never going to be like my mom in this area or that area. I'm never going to be like my dad. Anybody ever say that? How many of you have stared into the mirror and been like, oh, crud, I'm my parent, right? Do you know why? Because whether or not that you wanted to imitate them or whether or not they thought you were going to, guess what happened? We learn from that and we imitate that. We pick up those things naturally. People are going to look at the way you make decisions and they are going to imitate the way you make decisions. What are they imitating and where is that going to take them? That can affect someone's forever. Do you realize that? That's crazy. You know, I think about for me, I'm not going to sit up here and tell you guys that I think it would be that it's a sin to have a drink, okay? But what I will tell you is that as a college minister working on a college campus with people who tend to get themselves in a lot of trouble drinking, I know for me, if I'm sitting in Applebee's and students come in who know I'm a minister and know who I am and know what I'm about, and they see me sitting at Applebee's, even if I'm having a drink, when they look at that, are they going to think, oh, Carrie's having a drink? Or are they going to think, Carrie drinks? Carrie drinks, right? And so for me, I've made a conscious decision that says, you know what, for me, I can't make that decision, not because necessarily it would be wrong, but because I am afraid of where that decision is going to lead someone else. And so I know in my church and in my ministry, I have friends and loved ones in my church who have struggled with addiction and alcoholism, and I don't want to compromise them in any way. So I don't want to have anything to do with that. I don't want them to come to my house for dinner and to open my fridge and see alcohol and be like, ugh. So for me, I have to make that conscious decision, not necessarily based off what I might think is right or wrong, but about the path that I'm going to lead someone else down. And that's just one example, but there are hundreds of examples of things like that in our lives. And so I have to think about where is that going to take someone else? Thinking about my kids with that. You know what? Maybe you're able to stop at having a drink. Maybe you're able to do that. What if your kid's not? What if your kid has an addictive personality? And they're following and imitating our behaviors. See, these are things that we don't think about sometimes when we make little decisions because they don't seem like a big deal in the moment until 20 years later you're taking your kid to rehab. See, we have to learn to start thinking about other people. In 1 Corinthians 10, 23 and 24, this point is illustrated perfectly. Paul says, someone may say, well, I'm allowed to do anything, but not everything is helpful. Well, I'm allowed to do anything, but not everything encourages growth. People should be concerned about others and not just themselves. And what Paul is saying there is he's saying, listen, not every decision you make maybe right or wrong, but other people are watching you, and you need to be keeping them in mind when you make decisions. And the way that you go about making those decisions, the way we make those decisions is going to affect others. So we don't only need to ask ourselves what's right or wrong, but we need to ask ourselves what's best, because someone else might make that same decision and it might be a pitfall for them. So the imitation test, what would I want? Would I want other people to do the same thing? The fourth thing is the improvement test. Will it make me more like Christ? If I'm making decisions and it's not going to make me more like Christ, then I don't need to make it. You know, sometimes the question we tend to ask ourselves on a thing like this is not, the question we ask ourselves is, oh, am I going to get caught? You know, am I going to get caught doing this or not? Or, you know, well, is this going to keep me from getting to heaven? You know, is this going to end up a salvation issue or not? And we want to make decisions based off of those things rather than asking the real question that truly matters. And that is this decision going to make me more or less like Jesus? 1 John 2 verse 6 says this, those who say that they live in him must live the same way he lived. See, if you want to say that you're a follower of Christ, and you want to say that that's who you're imitating, that's who you're a student of, then when you make decisions, you need to try to make the same decisions he would have made so that you could be more like him. Not the decisions that are comfortable, that are easy, that are fun, that we enjoy, that we like. But what decision makes me better? What decision makes me more like him? Ephesians 4, 17, and then kind of skipping down through 24, it says this. As a follower of the Lord, I order you to stop living like godless people. Their minds are in the dark and they are stubborn and ignorant. Let the Spirit change your way of thinking and make you into a new person. You were created to be like God. See, Paul is telling them right there, he's like, you need to stop making decisions and doing things the way that you're doing them currently, because you are not becoming more like God. You're becoming more like the world around you. And when we make decisions, we've got to start learning to say, okay, is this making me more like the people around me and more like the world, or is it making me more like God would want me to be? There's that question of growth, whether or not this is going to help me grow. The fifth test is the independence test. And this is, could it be controlling or addictive? 1 Corinthians 6:12 says this, all things are lawful for me, but I will not be dominated by anything. Now, to go back to my point when I was telling you guys about my decision not to drink, okay? And again, I'm not forcing that. I'm not trying to force that on you guys. I'm trying to make the decision-making process a little more clearly. So for me, I look at other people. That's one of the reasons I don't drink. The other reason is if you know me and you know my personality and know much about me, you know that I have an indulgent personality. When I see something that I like, I am going to dive in head first as deep as I can, and I love it. And you know, it's funny because, like, you know, our college students, they like to tease me about these phases that I go through. Like, I'll see something I really like, and we'll start doing it, and then I'll get, like, 15 or 20 other people, and we're like, come on, let's all go do it. We're going to go, you know, and we go do some crazy thing. And for, like, 3 months, we go out and do it, and then, like, they're all still wanting to go do that, and I'm like, no, I'm on to this other thing now. And, you know, it's like, I have an indulgent personality. So for me, I know that there are things that I just can't do at all, because I know where that would lead. Because I know that while it may be lawful for me, okay, it might not be a sin for me to do some things, I know that if I make that decision, eventually that decision can lead to me being dominated and controlled by that thing. You know, and so for me, I look at alcohol, you know, like, I'm one of those people, man, I'm walking down the road and you smell weed and you're like, ooh, you know, like, and I'm like, no, that's not, I have to stay away from anything like that, because I'm not going to allow myself to be controlled or consumed or dominated by anything like that. And for different people, those are different things. So when we're making decisions about whether or not we want to get involved in something, that could be, you guys, we tend to think of substances when we think of things like this, right? It doesn't have to be a substance. There are jobs that you've taken that have controlled your life, right? There are jobs that you've taken that make every decision for you. There are people that you have dated that controlled and dominated your life, because you made a poor decision in who you were going to be with. You see, these principles apply over everything. They're not over one little area. They're principles that can change your every decision-making process that you have. And I need to ask myself, is this going to dominate me if I get involved with this? 1 Corinthians 6:12 in the Living Bible says it this way: I can do anything I want to if Christ has not said no. So right there, that's going back to the harmony of the, is it in harmony with God's word, right? If God says no, there's no question. It shouldn't be involved in. But then he says, you know, I can do anything I want if Christ hasn't said no, but some of those things aren't good for me, even if I'm allowed to do them. I'll refuse to if I think they might get such a grip on me that I can't easily stop when I want to. And again, Paul is just painting this picture that says, look, if it is going to control your life, it's going to be something you can't stop or that you can't be controlled by, you don't need to be involved with it. That's a pretty big step. That will help us make so much better decisions, much more wise decisions when we look at things like that than rather, can I get away with this, right? That's how addicts get themselves in trouble all the time, right? They're like, oh, I think I can get away with it this one time. And then the next thing though, they're on a binger. And their families are like, what happened? Well, they looked and they thought, oh, I can get away with it here. It's not really wrong. Well, for you, it was wrong, because it was going to control you. So we need to ask ourselves, is this something that is going to control me or be addictive for me? And then the sixth and final test is the investment test. And that is, will it have a positive influence eternally? You know, most of the bad decisions that I've made, and I would bet that you have made, are because we are making them about something immediate. We're not thinking about the long term. We're thinking about that moment right then. You know, when that guy gets that job offer and he knows that it comes, you know, he's going to go from making $60,000 a year to making $140,000 a year. And that job offer is right there in front of him. What's our first thought? Yeah, I want that job. Why? Man, that's over doubling my pay. I'm going to be able to pay my bills easier. I'm going to be able to get my kids more stuff, to give them the things that I never had growing up. And we start thinking about all these things, right? But all of those things that we're thinking about are also immediate things. They're not eternal things. The house, the car, giving your kids those things. And then we take those jobs on a decision that we made like that, not thinking about the eternal things. And then as the years go by, our kids go, man, I remember when I was a little kid, Dad used to play with me all the time, you know. And then he took this job and he was working 70, 80 hours a week and I really didn't get to see him anymore. And then he didn't have that much influence on my life. And we start looking at the decisions our kids made because we made a decision based on something immediate rather than something eternal. We weren't thinking long term. And I'm not saying it's wrong to take a job promotion. I want you to understand that. I'm saying we need to think through these things before we just jump on a decision and ask ourselves, is this going to be something good over the long haul? Matthew 16:26 says this: and what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? And what he's saying, don't make decisions based off the immediate or the things that are right here in front of you right now. You have to ask yourself, how is this going to affect eternity? Luke 12, verse 20, there's a story that puts it this way. A rich man had land that produced good crops. Sorry. He thought, what should I do? I don't have enough room to store my crops. He said, I know what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And then I'll say to myself, you've stored up a lot of good things for years to come. Take life easy. Eat. Drink, enjoy yourself. But God said to him, you fool, I demand your life from you tonight. Now who will get what you've accumulated? That's how it is when a person has material riches, but is not rich in his relationship with God. And that whole story is designed to let us know what really matters when you're going to make decisions is what is going to impact your eternity and your kids' eternity and everyone else that you come into contact with. I know lots of people who have accumulated lots of things because they made immediate, earthly, right now decisions who are miserable. I know a lot of people who have lost relationship after relationship after relationship because they were thinking about the right now and they weren't thinking about how is it going to affect their relationship with their kids, with their spouse, with their friends, with their family. They weren't thinking about those things in that moment. They were thinking about what it would give them in that moment. You know, even with substances, right? When you take a substance, you know that down the line it could destroy something, right? When you're addicted to something, you get that. But what are you thinking about when you decide to take that hit, when you decide to smoke it, when you decide to pick up that drink that you know you shouldn't have? What are you thinking about? You're thinking about how it's going to make you feel right then and right there. And that's all that we care for, and that's what we're consumed by. And so rather than thinking about what's going to happen way down the line, we just want to feel good right now. And so we make these decisions that hurt and destroy our lives. See, every decision that you're going to make today, tomorrow, the next day, a week from now, a month from now, a year from now, those decisions all will have consequences. And consequences can be good or they can be bad, right? Some consequences that you've made, you're still hurting from those. But some of the decisions you made had good consequences. And you think about how it's impacted your life and how much has changed because of that decision. And every decision that you make is going to have one of two consequences, something good or something bad. And that's why we wanted to do a whole series of lessons on making decisions, because it's a huge deal. It changes your entire life. And that's why it's important for us to look and ask ourselves those questions about, you know, does this decision that I'm about to make, does it live in harmony with God's word? Is it something that whenever I look into God's word, I can see clearly I've made the right decision? Do the godly people that God has placed in my life around me, the mature men and women who I can look at their lives and I can see the way their lives have turned out, would they think this is a good decision? Have I talked to them about it? Have I said, hey, I'm thinking about doing this? And if they do say, yeah, it's a great decision, go for it. If they say no, what's your response going to be? You know, asking yourselves, would I want other people to do the same things? Do I want my kids to do these types of things? Is this going to make me more like God, or is it going to push me farther away from God? There, you know, is it going to be controlling? Is it going to dominate my life? And what's it going to do to my eternity and everybody else's eternity? If we can think about those tests in the way that we make decisions, it will change everything for you. I promise you. Your life will turn out so much differently than what you would expect, but so much better. But like anything else in a relationship with God, that all comes down to a decision that you have to make. You know, God is not going to force you to do something. And I know there are churches that teach you that. There are churches that will tell you God has already decided for people. That's not the way God works. First of all, that's not the way God works, because that's not relationship. See, God is a relational God. And if I told Alameda, you're going to be my friend, and I put a gun to his head, and he's like, okay, I'll be your friend. Are we really friends? No, right? Because I'm forcing something upon him. That's not a relationship. You would never stay with someone who you knew was only staying with you because they had to. And that's the way God is. God has given you the ability to choose. He has given you free will. He's given you the ability to make a decision about whether or not you want to follow him. And all of these decisions we talked about today, they all hinge on that decision of whether or not you're going to listen to God, whether or not you're going to surrender your life to him. You know, the Bible says that whenever you're baptized into Christ, well, the picture that paints is this picture of us dying to ourselves. It's us being up here, and we have this life that we're living. And whenever you're baptized into Christ, in Romans, it says that you put away that old life. You die to yourself. You surrender. You give everything up. And when you come up out of that water, it says that you're raised to a completely new life. That decision, that moment, should change every other decision that you make in your life. For some of you guys, you've already made that decision. You see, the thing that we forget is that we face some decisions in life. We're like, I just don't know what to do. And God's going, yeah, you do. You made that decision right here at this point in your life. Just do what you've already decided to do. For some of you guys, that's where you're at. And you need to be reminded of that. You need to be reminded that these principles are what you committed your life to. For others of you, you're looking and you're like, man, I haven't made that decision. And that's all right. That's why God gives you a choice, and no one here and God is not going to force you to do that. But I can tell you this, if you do make that decision and you do follow God and you allow him to help you make decisions, life's going to be better. You know, in your bulletin, there's things called the crossing communication card, and it looks like this. And, you know, there's a place on there for your name and address and all kinds of ways for us to stalk you and things like that. But, you know, the important thing is down at the bottom, right? See where it says down there? My decision today. And there's lots of stuff on there. I would like a personal Bible study. For some of you guys, I would totally get it if you're like, I don't know if I want to make decisions like this because I don't know God. Well, I wouldn't want to make decisions like that if I didn't know God either. So check out like a personal Bible study and allow someone to sit down with you and say, this is who God is, and this is why you can trust him. This is why you should allow him to help you make decisions. For others of you, you know already. You're like, man, I've been teetering back and forth on this about making a decision of whether or not I'm going to allow God to make every decision in my life. I need to be baptized. I'm tired of walking this line. I'm ready to make that decision. You know, and there are a lot of different decisions on there today, but don't leave without making a decision that's going to better your life. That's why God got you here this morning. The Bible says in Acts 17, it says that God intersects people. It says he determines the times and places where they're going to live and where they're going to be. And it says that he does that so that they might perhaps reach out and find him. That's why God got you here today, is so that you could make decisions about your relationship with him and about what your future is going to look like. So listen to God and listen to his word and allow him to help you make better decisions, and things are going to be awesome. In just a moment, I'm going to pray. The worship team is going to come up and sing a song. That first song is a song designed to allow you to make decisions. The second song will stand up. The baskets will be passed by for our members. We need you making decisions as well. Put that in there and allow God to work in your life. We also need our members' contribution as that goes by. For our guests, we don't want your money. Don't put it in there, because that's not why we got you here. We got you here because we really truly believe that God has a better way of making decisions. So just put your card in there and allow God a chance to change your life and to bless it. All right? Let's pray. Father in heaven, I just want to thank you again for being a God who does give us a choice, God, that we're able to choose whether or not we want to follow you. We're able to choose on a daily basis what we're going to do with our lives. But God, I know from my own experience and the experience of my friends and loved ones, God, the experience of the members of the Crossings Church here, the Inner Belt and Wentzville, God, that when we make decisions based on your wisdom and your guidance, life's better. And when we do it on our own, God, we tend to mess things up. So I pray that today you'll help us to all be able to be people who make decisions based off what you want, whether or not those decisions are in harmony with your word and your godly men and women in our lives, whether or not they're eternal decisions and how they're going to affect other people. God, help us to be people who make better decisions, God, that are eternal and have a lasting impact on our lives and everyone we come into contact with. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.